Good morning and welcome to The Commission. This is Brennan Gindelsberger. The following is a live recording from my home church, Cornerstone Missionary Baptist Church, this past Sunday. The message is brought to you by Brother Josh Hamby.
Verse number 7, the Bible says, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Amen. You may be seated. Or you could say that God looks on the inside of a man. God is looking on the inside of a man. And God began to deal with me about a message. And I began to study this scripture out and this thought out. I want to preach to you this morning about living inside out. About living inside out. And Samuel was probably one of the greatest prophets. This is my opinion. Probably one of the greatest prophets that Israel had ever seen. Everything God told him to do, he would do exactly that. That's what you call being a good prophet. Amen. He would do exactly what God said. And he was doing exactly what God had told him to do here in this scripture. He went to the house of Jesse. Actually, Samuel was mourning because God had refused Saul to be the king. Right. And Samuel was mourning. And God spoke to him and said, "How long are you going to mourn? I have raised up somebody out of the house of Jesse." Jesse has five sons or however many sons he had. Probably had a lot more than that. And they went down there, and this is where God spoke this to Samuel. Whenever he said, "The Lord looks on the heart, he looks on the inward man." This is, God spoke this to Samuel because when they got down there and they began to make the sacrifice that he had come to make, they looked, and the oldest boy of Jesse's, this is very important, the oldest boy of Jesse's, he was one of those kind of dudes. I mean, he was good looking, as good looking gets. And he had everything that a man should have to be a king. He looked like the golden child. He was, he was the boy that everybody would like to have been. He was just that kind of boy. And Samuel said, "Surely this is the king of Israel." When he saw him, that's just what he said. And God said, "I'm not looking at what you're looking at. I don't see what you see." He said, "You keep looking because that's not the king. He might look like the king, but he's not the king." And anyway, what happened was David became the king. David was the youngest. He didn't look he was least likely to be the king according to everybody else. But David was raised up, and everybody knows the story of David, how he became a mighty man. Well, David said this statement right here in Psalm 103. He said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Everybody knows the scripture, that song we sing. It comes from Psalm 103. And David said, "And all that is within me." And David had come to a place in his life where he realized, where he recognized that the praise come from within.
Right.
What was natural coming out of him. Because he was a child of God. And it became natural to praise God. Giving God praise is just as natural as breathing.
Right.
That's right, amen. Just like this happens to me. Has anybody ever been sick and vomited? Didn't nobody tell you how to vomit? Didn't nobody teach you vomit 101? You get sick on the inside, and it's coming out. You get really ill in here, you can hold it in and hold it back. My wife is the worst. I just hold it back. She wants to hold it back. But the best thing to do, just let it go. You know why? Your body is rejecting something that shouldn't be in there. You're starting to, what's inside is coming out of you. And this is what God was trying to show Samuel, that what's inside is what he was looking for. What's inside of a man is what I'm looking for. What's on the inside? The praise that's in him. The lifestyle that's in him. The Bible says in John chapter number 7, that out of the belly will flow living rivers of water. And that living rivers of water, the water that is alive actually comes from the throne of God. And this is how Jesus knew this. It actually comes from the place where God lives. So God, what Jesus was teaching them, that God would take abode in somebody's life. He would come to live in them. And then out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. And what he was wanting us to see, what Jesus was wanting us to see, was that I am going to come live with you. And what I want to preach about this morning is letting the world see the Lord that is on the inside of you. Inside out. You know, we live in a generation where we come to church on Sunday and Wednesday, and a lot of people and a lot of churches, this is how we live. We just serve God whenever we're at church. That's right, ain't it? We just serve Him whenever we're at church. And we have this mentality that it's all about what things look like. That's why we do that. That's why we act like that. That's why a lot of people dress nice. They're trying to put on a show. They're trying to, you know, whenever I was young and in school, the kids, a certain kind of clothing is cooler than anything else. It's the way that it looks. We do that to ourselves. We make things, you know, whenever we want somebody to see the good.
We want everybody
to see what's good, but whenever Jesus comes into our lives, He makes all things good. And He makes all things new. So when we're living inside out, when we're living with Jesus on the outside of our lives and living like we ought to be with Him, then the world will see Jesus. I was thinking about it, and so I got me a shirt. This is a sweatshirt that my wife bought me, and it's from Old Navy, but she didn't get it. Did you get it, Old Navy? Well, anyway, most of my clothes didn't come from where they say they came from. Amen. They come from the Goodwill. That's where they come from. But anyway, this suit actually is not the Cornerstone bought this suit. Matter of fact, so we want to know where the nice stuff comes from. It comes from the church, amen. It comes from the people of God. But anyway, as I begin to think about this, the first thing that people are going to see when you start living inside out is the tag. I mean, immediately if I put a shirt on inside out, Stephanie's like, "What? Can you not tell that shirt's inside out?" I was like, "Well, I couldn't tell." But anyway, you see the tag. And whenever you see the tag on something, you see the maker. You can put on a show any day you want to put on a show, but when the tag is exposed, the tag is exposed. The maker has been exposed. Whenever you're living inside out, people know you belong to Jesus. Amen. The world will know that you belong to the Almighty. The world will know that Jesus is King in your life. Whenever you start living inside out, whenever you let your gift and your talents come out of you. You know, Jesus has gifted everybody in the house this morning. He has talented everybody in the house this morning. And He even gave a parable of somebody that He gave money to. And He called it talents. That's what they called it back in the Bible. But He gave one 5, and He gave one 2, and He gave one 1. And the Bible says that one of them went and buried the one talent in the ground. He dug in the earth, the Bible says, and he buried his talent. When the Lord came back, He was disappointed that He had buried His talent. When you start living inside out, you cannot bury your talents. Whenever you start letting Jesus come out in your life, because God has gifted this church and God has gifted you this morning to be something for Jesus. And you got to start living inside out. Let God have His way in your life. I'm telling you, it becomes where you want to be 100% all Jesus. I want to be 100% all Jesus. You know when the tag is exposed, when you know who the maker is, you know its potential.
Yeah.
And you know its quality. And if it's made by God, it's a pretty good make.
Hey,
amen. It's a pretty good deal. And most tags, whenever they get exposed, it'll tell you what percentage of this piece of clothing is cotton. 80%, 90%. Some things are even made 100% from something.
Right.
Hallelujah. We should be 100% Jesus. 100% we're made with Jesus. Amen. And as I begin to pray about this, I need Stephanie to come up here real quick. As I begin to pray about this and God begin to show me and unfold this message in front of me, there's a lot of pregnant women in the house, ain't there? There's several. Or they have been because there are babies everywhere. But there's several pregnant ladies in the house. And you know, we all know that how a baby's made. A baby is made by a man and a woman at conception. It becomes life.
Right.
But you know what? God is still in the middle of creating this thing. You know, it's on the inside of her right now. Just like it's on the inside of you. Just like what God is trying to do on the inside of you. It's on the inside of her right now. And God is still working on that thing. And He's still working on that thing. And she's got to stay with it. She's got to stay with it. It gets discouraging. 9 months. And especially when it gets out there, it gets tough. Amen. You come live at the house, it gets tough. You pregnant women know. You men know better than the women know just how tough it gets. I mean, it's all night long. That thing is just uncomfortable. But God is doing something. I'm telling you what, when God's about to do something big, He will challenge your comfort zone. When God's about to multiply something, He'll challenge the comfort zone. When you start living inside out, something's got to be challenged. Stuff don't just come. Stuff don't just fall. God expects us to take a hold of it. And this is what's going to happen in about 9 months if she stays with it. Don't abort what God's trying to do inside of you. There's abortion clinics all over the earth. The devil's trying to get you to abort the things that God has planned and purposed in your life. The devil wants you to abort those things. But if you stay with it, life is coming. Life is coming. If you'll stick with God and stick with the plan of God, life is just about to come out of this belly. Now, my wife has been C-section twice, so they'll do it again. She didn't have it natural. So what they do, they'll take a knife and they'll cut her and pretty much gut her. You ever seen a deer gutted? You know why it has to come out? You know why that has to come out of there? Because if it don't come out of there, both will die. Both will die. Gosh, that'll preach right there. Both will die. If Jesus doesn't come out of you, if you get born again, the devil's not scared of you just because you've been born again. But it's what begins to come out of you. That's what scares the devil. That's what tears him up. You can sit down. Amen. But it's about to come out. You can tell by looking at her belly. She's been impregnated with the Word of God. Ain't she? That's right. That is God. And that is His Word. And that is His creation. Whenever He breathed into man, He gave man the ability to multiply. But God is still the maker in there. God is in her belly making children. That is something right there. That gets me fired up because it's in my life right now. In the back, and God is continually making and multiplying. Amen. That's what He's doing. Amen. I hope I have 10 more. That's what I said earlier. A lot of people think that's crazy. Amen. That is crazy. Yeah, but the Bible says that a man that's got a quiver full of young'uns, a man that's got a house full of kids is blessed. Amen. They are a blessing. They are a blessing. We're to treat them like one. The next thing that God began to show me about living inside out is the seams of this jacket, of this coat. You cannot tell, but when it's inside out, you can see. When something is turned the right way, you cannot tell really. I mean, you can tell, but you can't see the stitching. But whenever it's like this, you can see the stitching. I can see it just back and forth. I'm talking about just barely, but you can see it back and forth. And this is what happens to most Christians. Most church people start coming apart at the seams.
Right.
They start coming apart where they've been joined together. That's what happens in a church whenever they start getting in trouble. They start coming apart at the seams and they start saying, it seems like.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, it seems like I'm the only one that struggles with this kind of stuff.
Right.
It seems like everybody doesn't like me down there anymore, so I'll just go on. Actually, I'll just stay at the house instead of go to church. It seems like the devil fights me and nobody else. It seems like, and we start falling apart at the seams. But I'm telling you that the thread is the thread of faith. The thread is the thread of faith that God has given to every man. When you begin to live inside out, your faith comes to life. If you keep that faith inside and it never comes out, it will diminish.
Right.
It will die. It will try to be taken away from you if you keep it inside. But when you start living inside out and that faith can be seen by the world, that's the plan of God.
Amen.
That's the work of God. The Bible says that we should let the world see our good works, that they may what? Glorify God. That they may give glory to God when they see your works. Let your light shine before me, and the Bible says, let your light so shine. And that's what it means to let them see your seams. Let them see how you're stitched together. Don't fall apart in front of the world. I'm telling you, the world falls apart when they're attacked.
Yeah.
And you know, the church faces the same thing that the world faces. But we've got a God with us that's different than the God they serve. We serve a God that'll keep us together. Amen. We got a God that holds us in place. Amen. If they're falling apart, we're going to stay together. Amen. That's the way it ought to be. And it takes faith. It takes the thread of faith. The seams is what holds us together. God began to speak to me in the tabernacle. This is what happened in the Old Testament. Amen. Is it getting late? Amen. The tabernacle plan. What would happen? They'd set up the tabernacle. And I don't know a whole lot about it. I really don't. And I just know bits and pieces. But what they would do, they would take an animal in. And there was a place in there called the Holy of Holies. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That's where God lived. God was, and that's where people got to see God.
Amen.
It was a wonderful place. Kind of like church today. It's a place where we come to see God. And anyway, what they would do, the priest would bring the animal in. He would slit its throat, if I'm correct, and it would bleed to death and they would catch blood. But before they could go in there, they had to do a lot of stuff with that animal. They had to do a lot of work with that thing. And they would take it to what they call a brazen altar. A place where they would take the animal and they would lay it up there. And just like I was talking about earlier, they would gut that animal. They were not allowed to take the guts in there. They couldn't take the dirty, the gory into the presence of God. This is where this message gets tough this morning. They could not take the nasty in there. You couldn't see the glory until it got dirty.
Right.
You know what that guy would do? He would gut that animal. He'd take all them guts and he would throw it on the fire, the priest. Being a priest wasn't as cool as it sounded like it was whenever we talk about it. He didn't just stay dressed up nice and pretty all the time. He was gutting animals for people and for the sin of people and for the peace and all the offerings that they had to make. But he would gut that animal and he would throw it on the fire, and the fire would consume the dirty. We got to get gutted in front of God.
Amen.
You know what? A lot of times we want the glory of God in our lives, but we don't want to get gutted to get the glory. I'm telling you, we're going to have to get gutted this morning if we want the glory of God. We want the real anointing and the real power of God. We're going to have to gut ourselves. We're going to have to get the junk out, the dirty out. You know, we live in a generation where it's all right to live like you want to on Monday and through the week, and then we can come to church and still praise God. And you know what that is? That's just shouting and praising, and there ain't nothing backing it up. There ain't nothing in there, and ain't nothing back. But you get gutted before God. You get honest before God. You get open in front of God. That's the symbol of that. There's an old saying in sports. I don't know if the new generation knows it, but it says, if there's no guts, there's no glory. If we don't get the guts out, there'll be no glory. That's when the glory of God falls, when a church decides that we're different. When a church says that it's okay that we're different. We're ready to be different. We're ready to be separated. We're ready to be the Jesus freaks. We're ready to be the people that are crazy. We're ready to be the people that want to go the distance. Are you ready this morning to be that kind of person that wants to go the distance? I'm telling you, you've got to get gutted. You've got to get open. You've got to get the dirty out. You got to get the dirty out. And I won't go into detail, but you know exactly what I'm talking about when I say get the dirty out. Everybody knows. And then he could go into the presence of God, the glory of God, the power of God. That's awesome. That is awesome. And that's what I am looking for. You know, the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. You keep him bottled up, nobody will ever know that. Nobody ever know how great and how big God is. Who in here likes Coca-Cola? Everybody likes Coca-Cola. Pretty much everybody. I don't like Coke. That's just me. My grandpa likes Pepsi. He's a Pepsi man. Yeah, Pepsi people. But, I mean, a lot of people like Coke, don't they? Are you scared of this Coke, Thomas? You scared of that? You ain't scared of that Coke. Ain't nothing wrong with it. Don't be scared of that Coke. You scared of that Coke, Billy? You scared? You boys scared of this Coke? Anybody scared of this Coke this morning? Shaking it up. Thomas, are you scared of this Coke? Are you scared of this Coke now? Are you scared of this Coke? Devil ain't scared of you because you're born again. When you get in church service, you start getting shook up. And you start getting stirred up. And you start getting turned on. That's when the devil starts getting scared. That's when the enemy doesn't like it. Whenever you start getting shook up, we need a shaking this morning. Amen. We need to be shook for Jesus. Amen. We need some Coke in the house. Amen. About the best, amen. For Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm scared of the Coke, amen. I'm scared of the Coke, just to tell you the truth. You can keep shaking that Coke. It gets where you can't even make a dent in the can. Tina said this morning that she was about to bust. That's what I'm talking about. Those kind of Christians. When you start living inside out, you get to a place where you're just about to bust. You either tell somebody about Jesus or die trying. That's what we become when we start living inside out. God wants to turn us inside out. He wants us to start living with Him in front of our lives. Where everything's about Jesus. Not just Sunday, not just Wednesday, not just a couple times a year, but He wants us living for Jesus all the time. Amen. He wants to turn us plumb inside out, get us turned upside down. And I know this message is a little bit different. I used all these props. But as God began to speak to me, the Bible says, if you study the Word of God, whenever you get saved, whenever you get born again, the Bible, Jesus said you're born of the Spirit and of the water. You know, the Spirit of God is unstoppable. Yeah. It is indestructible. It cannot be moved. He will not move out of His place. When He comes in, He's coming in. That's right, ain't it? The Bible says, and I know that you know this is true, but we got to start living like this. You are who God says you are.
That's right.
You are who God says you are. Not who you think, not who somebody else has told you, but exactly what the Word of God says you are, that's who you are. If you are who God says you are, then you have what God says you have this morning.
That's right.
You have everything God says you have in this new covenant. With Jesus being King of our lives, we have everything He says we have. We have eternal life. We have life everlasting. We have everything at our hands and every resource that God has given us. We have those things this morning. And we can do what God says we can do. If we want to be a Jesus freak, we can be a Jesus freak. If we want to live inside out, we can live inside out this morning. That's the word God gave me to give to you. We are who God says we are. We have what God says we have. And we can do what God says we can do this morning.
Amen.
We need to be stirred up. We need to be shaken up. Everybody stand to your feet this morning. If you ain't never been saved, you've never been born again, you can't be shaken up. You can't be stirred up. But God will stir you up. God will save you. Amen. If I get somebody to come, highly favored to come and play us a song, God will shake you up this morning. He can put the fire back in you if the fire has gone out. He can put the desire back in you if your desire is gone. All things are possible with God. When something looks defeated, it doesn't have to be defeated. Jesus looked defeated, just like Philip said, but He was not defeated. He's actually becoming victorious. God wants to turn you inside out this morning. He wants to change your life. He wants to shake you up to the place where you're serving Him in the fullness. In the fullness of His presence, in the fullness of His plan and His purpose for you. That's what scares the devil to death. Doesn't scare him that you're here this morning. Doesn't scare him that you are going to go somewhere this day. He doesn't scare you, him. It scares him when you start wanting the plan of God in your life. It scares him when you want the purpose of God in your life.
When He walks among us, in all that He does, all of His mercy and all of His love, if the pen of the writer could write it. voice that